want to make a start tonight, and there's a fewer number. I think there's others to come. Maybe the attendance is a reflection on the weather outside. But nonetheless, we're here to worship God. We thank you for making the effort to come. And we're going to sing 406. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to other show. Seek the Lord tonight. Almighty God and everlasting Father, we count it a privilege to come to the place where prayer is wont to be made, to meet with our Heavenly Father and to meet with each other at the throne of grace. We come through the name, the precious name, the exalted name, the all-adoring name of thy blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee that he is the mediator between God and man. We have none other. We look to no other. But we claim that mighty, mighty name of Jesus now in this place as we draw near to thee. It is our desire that the Lord will draw nigh to his people tonight in this meeting. As we come here, we come with different burdens, different situations in our lives and in our families. But we come to a great God who knows us through and through. One who reads the very thoughts of our minds. One who knows how we are in our inner being, in our hearts tonight. One who knows about the trials that we go through, the sorrows that compass our pathway in the pilgrimage of life. We're conscious that even in the past week, there have been those in mourning, and we want to commit again the Blair family to thee. Lord, you've helped them thus far in the knowledge that their loved one is with Christ, which is far better. And we know that that is the hope of the gospel. That is the anchor for our souls tonight. You've told us in your word to comfort each other. And we are to comfort each other, Paul says, with these words. The words that he had just given to the Thessalonica church concerning those who fall asleep in Christ. Lord, we do believe tonight that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And Lord, we know that there's coming that day when the trumpet shall sound, and the voice of the archangel will be heard, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be raised also, and we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And as soon as Paul wrote those words, he says, comfort one another with these words. Lord, we bless thee that when a child of God passes from this scene of time, it's absent from the body, it's present with the Lord. And the soul goes directly to be with Christ, which is far better. And then there comes that glorious day, the day of resurrection, when the body will be raised incorruptible. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, and we shall be raised together to meet the Lord at his glorious coming again. Lord, we thank you tonight for these wonderful truths and for the gospel that brings great assurance to us. We thank thee that we ourselves are in Christ, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That condemnation that we were under has been removed, and so removed by virtue of the work of Christ. We praise thee for his atonement upon the cross, that once and for all sacrifice for sin, when he dealt with our sins once and for all, and he put them away forever, removed them as far as the east is from the west, cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. And your word reminds us that God forgives our sins, and he forgets our sins. And we praise thee for that tonight. Bless your people here. Encourage us through the word. As we come later to deal again with the gracious, wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God, Lord, bless us in this final thought that we bring this evening. We pray that you will draw graciously near and speak to our hearts. And help us, Lord, to live according to your word and what we hear tonight. Help us to act upon it. And help us to glorify Christ, our Redeemer. So meet with us now and continue with your people and answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen. Don't know whether this is going to make noises. If it does and it keeps doing that, I'll put it to the side and we'll just use the pulpit mic. I was advised just to use this one because you can hear better. Anyhow, I'm going to dispense with it. So we turn that one off and we use just the one in the pulpit here this evening. Welcome anyhow, we can do that as we switch this to the off position. Welcome in the Lord's great name. This is the midweek service. This is the powerhouse of the church. We meet with God together. And we're glad to see you, though we have a few vacant seats this evening. It's always a joy when I come here and you look down and the seats are taken. And there's even sometimes a spill over into the porch. But we're glad that you're here and you've braved it out on this wintry night. Most of the day it just registered 4 degrees, so that's pretty cold. And then, of course, we have the rain. If you're tuning in tonight on the internet, whatever means you're doing that, welcome also. I just want to say very briefly thank you for the day that was arranged last Lord's Day, last Sabbath, to mark the 25 years that we've been in Ballymoney. And this is just a few of the slides that Samuel took on the occasion. I have a letter, and we'll get Phil to read that out to you on the Sabbath day. But anyhow, you came, and we enjoyed your company, and we enjoyed the program. That was kept very secretive from me. I didn't know anything about it, until I came. Well, I knew very little about it. I have to say that I can pass one Tuesday night after going up and putting, Susan and I put the couple of the grandchildren to bed after the Tuesday night meeting. And there was a lot of cars at the church, and I sort of wondered what's going on there. And then last Thursday night we switched to the church, and the big tall mics at the front, what's going on there? So when we came on the Lord's Day morning, we were able to see the program that was arranged, and that gave us an idea of some of the things that were happening. So thank you. Thank you for the beautiful picture that we received, and the flowers, and the Bible that Susan received. And there'll be a little bit more in the letter. Tomorrow night is the church dinner down at the McRaboy House Hotel, Portrush, 6 for 6:30. That will be a quick turnover, I understand, for some, especially when you're trying to get home from work and get a turnaround and out again. Just to mention again that the masks are required to be worn entering and leaving the hotel. Children will be served their meals first, as a couple of children have, they've ordered the small Christmas dinner, so that's fine, but the other children who are getting off the menu, as soon as they arrive, you are to make your request knowing what you want, and the children are going to get that out as quickly as possible. There will be a short restricted program afterwards that I'm hoping to take charge of, just under the circumstances. And any other inquiries, please do see me or Samuel. Samuel should be able to help you with some information as well. Do remember the Lord's Day, we rise for prayer at 8 o'clock. The Sabbath school then comes in at 10:30, likewise the Bible class. And then at the worship service, we've actually changed direction for this one Lord's Day morning. So I did announce, or it was announced last Lord's Day, that we would be coming to the next section in Mark. But there's a text that has really gripped my heart. One of our elders sent it to me to the session actually this week. And it's from 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 9. The Lord is able to give much more than this. And that gripped my heart. And then there were other circumstances that suggested to us we should preach this. And preach the title, The Unchanging God of the Exceeding Abundant, and the Lord is able to give much more than this. And we're going to deal with that on the Lord's Day, God willing. Family night on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, we'll have a time of congregational singing of some of the carols that we love to sing. Remember the prayer meeting, we come into this room to seek the Lord at 6:15. That's all the announcements. We're going to sing together 197. Tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Let's stand to sing. Jesus and his love. Tonight, as we come to the final message in this series, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we come to the Gospel of John again, chapter 15 and the chapter 16, and there's just three verses that I want to read with you. Chapter 15 and verse 26, and I think we'll just read the other verse that brings us to the end of the chapter as well. So there's four verses altogether. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16 and verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few verses to us tonight as we approach this subject. I'm going to bow together and seek the Lord in prayer for a moment, please. Our Father, once again we rejoice in these words of the Saviour as he meets with his disciples the night before the cross, and he speaks of those things that were to happen shortly when he would be crucified, raised from the dead, and then ascended to glory, that this blessed Comforter would come in power, come in a way that he had never come before. We know that the Spirit of God was always in the world from the beginning, in the greatness, the immensity of his presence, but he came in a special way, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Father into this world. And we've looked at his ministry, and Lord, we do believe we've been blessed. Teach us again. Instruct us tonight. Give us, Lord, hearts that are pliable in your hand. And may we know as we listen to your word and we come to the place of prayer that God has spoken to each one of us. We pray that we will make it our business to therefore exalt our blessed Saviour the way that the Spirit of God did. These things we pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is message 10, and I want to draw your attention to two little phrases that we've read tonight. First of all, in chapter 15 and verse 26, where Jesus said, "He shall testify of me." And then in chapter 16 and verse 14, "He shall glorify me." And so the 12th point that I want to make when we come to the ministry of the Holy Spirit very simply is this: He exalts. He exalts, or he glorifies Christ. He shall testify of me. He shall glorify me. Now we'll just run through what we've told you so far. He convicts men about their sin. Not everyone that is convicted gets converted. He also enlightens men about their need of a Savior. And again, you can have these first two workings of the Spirit in your life and not be saved. But then the third thing that he does in the heart of the sinner is he regenerates. And that's conversion. That's the new life, the new birth, when the Spirit of God brings life. And thus, from that moment onward, the Christian life begins. The Holy Spirit comes. And he indwells, comes to live in you. He teaches. He is the great teacher of the Word. Every time we come to this book, we look to the Holy Spirit to be our guide and to be our principal teacher. He witnesses. Witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. He intercedes. It's all of those verses in Romans chapter 8 where the Spirit of God maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered when we come to pray. He sanctifies, makes you and I holy that are his children. He empowers, gives us power to live the Christian life, power to be a witness unto Christ. And he directs our way. Shows us where to go, what to do. He comforts us. He is the comforter. And that's what we looked at the last time. But the 12th characteristic that we're looking at, and the final one for this series, is he exalts. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit on earth is to testify of Christ and to glorify him. Now you keep in mind that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are co-equal members of the Godhead. They are equal in power and in glory. And each has their particular functions within the Godhead. Very often we associate the Father with creation. Though the Trinity were all involved in creation, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, we associate the Son with salvation. That's the great work that he came to do. But there's no doubt that the whole Godhead were involved likewise in the saving of man. And then we associate particularly the Spirit with regeneration and sanctification. He came to give men new life, to regenerate them, to save their souls, and then thereafter that they might be sanctified, living a holy life on this earth. Each has their relationship, the one with the other. And it is the Spirit's task in our lives to testify of Jesus Christ and to glorify him. So the business of the Spirit is to exalt Christ. And that brings us to what I said there in verse 26, when the Comforter, chapter 15, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. But the business of the saint is also to exalt Christ. Because the next verse goes on to say, and ye also shall bear witness. He shall testify of me, says Jesus, and ye also, as he speaks to his disciples, to his people, they would bear witness, because Jesus says to these men particularly, ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, sometimes our motives are wrong in our service for God. And the end that is in view is not what it ought to be. We are reminded by the great Apostle Paul, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so everything we do, I want you to see this tonight, dear child of God, everything that we do, even in the smallest details, should be for the great glory of God, that he is magnified and uplifted, that he is exalted and extolled. We want to have that attitude of heart that John the Baptist had. He must increase. As John thought of himself, he said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, made it his business to exalt Christ, to make much of him, as he was that forerunner to prepare the way. We ought to desire, of course, the conversion of our families. If you've got family members here tonight who are not saved, I trust that it is the great burden of your heart to see them brought to Christ. And we ought to desire the salvation of souls, even outside the family circle. We want to see others wrought upon by the Spirit of God and brought savingly to the Lord Jesus. And we ought to desire the success of the gospel. Wherever the gospel is preached, we want to see that gospel going forward with great success, spiritual success. And we ought to desire power and persuasion with others. Remember, Jacob wrestled with God and he got power with God and power with man. Well, we want that too. We want to have power first and foremost with God. And when we obtain that, we then will have power with our fellow man. And we want that power, we want that persuasion to turn men from their sin unto God. And we ought to desire the increase that God has promised. And God has promised to give the increase. And we ought to desire the gathering in of the spiritual harvest. And we ought to desire crowded prayer meetings. I said to you tonight, it's always a joy to come here and see all the seats filled and spilling over into the porch there. And last Thursday night, we went to the church building because it was a special deputation meeting. And it was a good job that we did because others came along. But we want to see our prayer meetings packed to capacity with people who have a desire to meet with God collectively and to come and to seek him on behalf of the work of God on earth. And we ought to desire the blessing of God upon the children's work and the youth ministry of the congregation. And we ought to desire full attendances at all the meetings of the church. I'm longing for that day when our church sanctuary will be packed to capacity. We've longed for that since the first day it was opened 15 years ago, a little more. And you know, I prayed regularly, daily, for a long time that the front row would be filled. Well, COVID has brought the front row to be filled because we're now sitting every other row. But in normal circumstances, and I hope that we're able to return to normal circumstances in the near future, but we know not what a day brings forth, let alone a month or a year ahead. But we're looking forward to that day when the sanctuary is filled with people hungering after the bread of life. We ought to desire the blessing of God in the other areas of church life in this house of God. We ought to desire the expansion of Christ's kingdom on the mission field. And we are a church that believes in the Great Commission. And we do pray often for our missionaries as they serve God overseas. But we need to challenge our motives from time to time. Why do we want to see sinners saved? Why do we want to see our families particularly brought to Christ? Why do we want to see the building out there packed on the Lord's Day? Why do we want to see these prayer meetings jammed tight with people coming to seek the Lord? Why do we want the blessing of God upon the children's work, the youth ministry, the other departments of church life? Why do we want to see the gospel being prospered in the nations of the world and our missionaries seeing that great ingathering unto Christ? And so we ought to challenge our motives. We ought to check and correct them if necessary. Why do we want these things? Is it self-gratification? Is it man's glory? Is it for the church's honor? Is it so that we can boast and brag about what's happening here? Is it that we feel our importance among other men? Well, these are the wrong motives. If those things cross our mind and heart, it's for the wrong motive. Sometimes I think about Isaiah's vision in chapter 6 of the prophecy that bears his name, when he saw the Lord. Remember, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. What a sight, a glorious sight he got of Jesus Christ. And that must have been an amazing thing. He saw the Lord. He saw him on his throne of glory. He saw the burning seraphim creatures. He heard them cry, "Holy, holy, holy." What a privilege. What an honor. What a blessing. He was admitted into the very presence of Jesus Christ. How did he react? How did he respond? Did he say, I'm highly favored of the Lord to behold such things? Did he say, what a great man of God I have been to be permitted into the very presence of Christ? Did he say, I have been blessed in a way that no other saint in this world has been blessed? Did he say, I can't wait to post to other people what I've seen? No. No, no, 1,000 times no. He said, woe is me, but I'm undone. And he took that place of humility before the majestic presence of Christ that he was permitted to enter into. When God allows us to see things that are great, spiritual, we must humble ourselves and give the glory to the one who's worthy. We are in the work of God in our ministry to the church and to the world to make it our chief business to glorify Christ and to exalt his name. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's a great part of his ministry. A man that is filled with the Holy Spirit will live this way. He will. Because the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ and glorifies Christ. You see where I'm going with this. If that Spirit that we have noticed dwells in you, that Spirit fills your life, teaches you, directs your way, then that Spirit of God, whose business it is to glorify Christ and to exalt Christ, will work that ministry into your life and into mine. Now, how does the Spirit of God glorify Christ? By bearing testimony to him. Isn't that what we read in verse 26 that I've just mentioned here? He shall testify of me. But the sentence doesn't end there. The sentence continues, the same sentence into the next verse. And ye also shall bear witness. Jesus Christ is exalted today by the Holy Spirit living in and working through his church. It is you and I, by our conversation and conduct, by our words and our works, who bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Savior says in chapter 16 and verse 14, he shall glorify me, there is no doubt that that means that the Holy Spirit shall teach, lead, and guide the Lord's people to make much of Christ. And any church that fails here, fails to exalt Christ, making him the center and the controlling person in its witness, is completely flawed in its ministry and calling. And it cannot be from the Spirit. Sometimes I read about what's happening in other churches. I'm not speaking about other free churches necessarily here, other denominations maybe I should say. And you would need to look at the minute detail to see Christ. You would need to have a very powerful microscope, put the church under the microscope to see Christ. I read the literature on some church bulletins or invitations, and what pastors have to say, and it's all about I, and it's all about me, and what has been accomplished through I and me. How far removed this is from a Holy Spirit-centered ministry. The Holy Spirit exalts Christ. He shall testify of me. He shall glorify me. May God ever preserve his church and his people from making self the main attraction. There's nothing wrong with the church being appealing in its witness. Nothing wrong with the church being original in its evangelism, or friendly in its fellowship, or attractive in its outreach. I believe in the all means. I preached a sermon many years ago on the all means from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You remember what Paul was discussing with these Corinthian believers in the few verses that I'm going to read to you here from verse 19 through to verse 23. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." And then he makes this very powerful statement. "I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." So I do believe in the all means. I believe that we should be employing all means to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his great name's sake. Our chief business and our chief privilege is to exalt Christ. It's to make much of him. Make him the center of all our preaching. The center of all our living. The center of all our witnessing. Christ sent me to preach the gospel. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. And you know the gospel is all about Christ. And that was the life ambition and the life goal of the great apostle. "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." As he wrote to the Corinthian church a second time in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. And if you go back to chapter 1 of the first epistle to the Corinthians and verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified." Paul made it his business to exalt Christ in his ministry. Christ was the center of all his preaching. You think of Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, when he went down to the city of Samaria, which we believe to be the city of Sychar, the same city that Jesus visited in the earlier part of his ministry in John chapter 4. Remember what we read there in the book of Acts chapter 8 verse 5, "Philip preached Christ unto them." Christ was the center of his ministry. And when he was called by God out into the desert to reach the one man, the Ethiopian eunuch, and get up into the carriage with him and explain what he was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, it was all about Christ. And this is our business. The Holy Spirit in us exalts Christ, and will exalt Christ as we uplift the word, the work of Christ. That's paramount. We talked about Paul preaching Christ crucified. This is where it really starts, to emphasize the cross, to preach the great work of Christ. There's no salvation without the cross. There's no reconciliation to God without the cross. There's no forgiveness, no pardon, no forgiveness of sin, no heaven itself without the cross. And we must preach the great work that Jesus came to do. The Holy Spirit in us exalts Christ as we uplift the word of Christ. Not just the words that we read about that he spoke when he was here upon the earth, but the word of God. These are all the words of Christ, the spoken word and the written word. And the Holy Spirit in us exalts Christ as we uplift the will of Christ and the wonder of Christ, the wonder of Christ's person. You can think of his deity. To be able to declare concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that he is God, manifested in human flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God became man and he dwelt among us. And we will ever seek to exalt the deity of Christ. And we can also think of the humanity of Christ. He did become man, truly man. He took upon himself our nature. Coming up to Christmas time, and traditionally we take the opportunity to speak on these things, the incarnation. That there was that day when very God became very man. And we will ever hold to the full humanity of our blessed Lord and Savior. His deity, his humanity, his purity. Another great doctrine concerning the person of Christ, that he was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. We can only bear witness to these truths by the power of the indwelling Spirit. We have no power of our own. As Christians, we are weak of ourselves. We have no ability, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The blessed Holy Ghost who abides within empowers us to go forth and to bear witness to Christ, that through this testimony men might be saved and Christ exalted. And that's what I want my life to be. That's what I want my ministry to be in this house. That's what I've sought to do in 25 years with you, and before that in Portobogie, and before that in Oaken Broad. And by the grace of the Lord, that's how we will go on. Here, wherever the Lord has us to be, we want to exalt Christ. And may that be your business too. You see, my dear friend, just as we close tonight, a Christ-centered ministry is a Spirit-given ministry. The Spirit of God delights to make much of Christ. Paul said that he desired Christ to be magnified in him. And every true servant of God will say amen to that. You will want Christ to be magnified in you. Every day, as you seek to outlive your life, before your family, before your friends, before your neighbors, before those that you come into contact with, whether it's in employment, in school, or anywhere else, you will endeavor to exalt your blessed Lord and your Savior as the Holy Spirit works in you, because the Holy Spirit exalts Christ. I'm going to leave the study there this evening, and soon we'll come to our time of prayer. As the Lord directs our way, I would like to continue with the work of the Holy Spirit in a different aspect, and maybe come on our Thursday night studies to the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter 5, and just go down those fruits of the Spirit that we got our children to learn a few weeks back. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. So you pray that the Lord will direct our way. We'll just have a wee word of prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit. We praise you for his ministry in the lives of his children. And we pray that you'll help us every day to endeavor to exalt the Lord. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he fills us, and he directs us, and he teaches us, well then we know that we will be engaged in this business that the Holy Spirit does on earth. For he glorifies the Lord. And we want to glorify Christ. May it be our chief aim. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. May it be our business every day for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'd like to keep in mind the sick of the church. We drew attention to a man who was involved in an accident on the Finvoy Road, I think it was, one of the roads just outside the town, that Horace had asked us to pray for him. We just got word tonight that there's been a great improvement down there in the Royal in this man's life. So I want to thank you for remembering him at the throne of grace in prayer. I want to sing the little chorus that has meant a lot to us in this study. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. And we'll sing it twice through. There's a few slides to show you, and then we'll come to our season of prayer. Say if you're involved in the work here and you've gone home with the clicker in your pocket, just a wee clicker, you see, you can put it in your pocket, then you won't wear that coat for 6 months and we don't see it. So it may be in your pocket. If it is, bring it back into us again. And if you don't want to own up to it, just bring it in quietly and set it down somewhere here at the front and we'll accept it from you. Just recently, our church committee were able to send a gift over to this orphanage in India. We do speak to these children from time to time in another part that's not connected with our brother, the Panker. But we were able to send this, and you can see from the parcels in front of them that they were able to purchase for the children some clothes and blankets. It's cold in this part of India. They're having their winter as well. So the children, thank you sincerely. That's the children of the orphanage. And I could show you a picture of every child receiving things, but that's going to be a lot of photographs. So we've just selected 6 girls, and they're delighted getting a blanket and getting some warm clothes, and then 6 of the boys. And it's always nice to see a smile on a child's face. I don't know what it is very often, that the children over there don't smile very often. And maybe when you think of the conditions that they're in, there's every reason not to smile. They received some food as well. They need to be sustained in their bodies. And Peter is very thankful to the church here for the help given. That's just some of the things that were bought to help them. You'll see among that Colgate. And they're holding up their toothpaste. I'm not too sure what the little yellow pack is. We received some pictures from the Panker. This is the ongoing monthly work among the orphans, the 90 orphans that we are supporting there. And there is a team that travels out to the 45 villages and they bring help to these children, give them their rations and keep them going for a month. So I just wanted to share those with you, because I know quite a few of you pray for these children. We do pray for them. We pray not only for their physical needs, but for their spiritual needs as well, that the Lord will be pleased to bring them to Christ as the witness is made. I want to thank those that are listening in tonight on the internet for joining with us. And we come now to our season of prayer. So we thank you for joining us. May the Lord bless you where you are. You might enter into a time of prayer with us in your own home. So may the Lord bless you if that's what you're